If you open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter, while you're doing that, if you'll find Romans chapter 13. We're going to spend a little time in Romans 13 this morning as well. Romans 13. I have a composite version of Romans chapter 13 that I'm going to read to you here in a little bit. I would like to say that, I'm going to say that I took in my study, I have several parallel Bibles. I have several Bibles that are together, and they're so I have a parallel Bible. That's what that's called when you have several Bibles right next to each other. You can buy Bibles that way. They're called parallel Bibles. They're great for study. You can they put the passages of Scripture right next to each other, they're really awesome for studying and for reading. So I have four or five of them right next to each other. And so what I did is I compiled that whole chapter of Romans 13 by pulling different verses out of different versions of the Bible. So I'm going to read that to you here in just a little bit to give you a better picture of Romans chapter 13. But it really gives us a good picture of what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 13 about who we are to respect. And this morning, I want to talk to you about that. We've been talking about in 1 Peter in chapter 2, as we had gone through 1 Peter chapter 1, we've gone through our salvation, the glorious salvation, and what salvation means, and how we got salvation, and where salvation came from. And it's great that we have salvation. It is great. Amen? And we should be excited. We should be excited that we have salvation. We should be on fire for God that we have salvation. We should want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And we should be ecstatic that we have that. But unfortunately for many of us, we are very static. And the church and the people that Peter was talking to were very similar to us, and yet they were in a place of being persecuted and scattered and all over. And so Peter was addressing them and talking with them and trying to encourage them in how to live. And so as he walked them through and talked to them about their salvation and how glorious and great it was and where it came from, he moved into the second chapter talking to them about what they needed to do in their life to be a holy people and how to live that life that they needed to have. And so as we have walked through that in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the things that we needed to get rid of in our life. Things we needed to renounce. Peter talked about that in the beginning of chapter 2. We need to get rid of deceit and malice and hypocrisy and all of those things so that we could live as holy people. Things that we needed to renounce to live like Christ. And then last week we talked about the relationship that we needed to have with Christ. How we need to have a relationship, what our relationship with Christ ought to look like, and then the relationship that Christ has with God and His relationship and the foundational stones, and that we are a living house, a living temple, the priesthood, that we can come into Christ and that we have that advocate with the Father, and that Jesus is that living stone, the cornerstone that we're building on, and it keeps us straight and true, and that we need to stand firm with Him. We also learned that we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. If we want to live as holy people, we need to have these things. But you know, Peter understood something else that needed to be required as holy people. And I tell you, this is going to be a difficult thing for us to grasp. I want you to all understand that right now. In our society today, the topic that we're going to discuss today is a difficult thing for us to grasp. It's not a difficult concept for us to understand. It's not a difficult concept for us to comprehend, but it is a difficult concept for us to put into practice. And that is respecting authority. Now, I know what you're all thinking. Well, Pastor, you just don't, you're wrong. I respect all authority. Really? Really? So how many of you respect the President of the United States? Well, raise your hands. See, look what Paul says, or Peter says here in verse 13. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority. Now let's just stop at verse 13. Now, first of all, Peter breaks this section up that we read this morning into three parts that I want to touch on for you this morning. Civil authorities, employers, and then everyone else. Verses 13 through 16 talks about civil authority. We find here the emperor in verse 13 and then governors in verses 14 and 15 and 16. And we'll talk about that. So the civil authorities, the emperor, the supreme authority, those that have the ultimate authority, those that are in ultimate charge. Kings. I always look back at this, and when I see this, I always look back and I think about the children of Israel in the book of Kings, when they came in the book of Samuel, excuse me, when they came to Samuel and they said to Samuel, "Samuel, we want a king." And Samuel, in his distress, cried out to God and said, "Oh God, I am distressed." I'm paraphrasing this for you. "I'm distressed. I'm distraught. The children of Israel hate me because they want a king." And God said to Samuel, "Samuel, Samuel, 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 Samuel. Oh, poor Samuel. Just give them what they want. They don't hate you. They hate me." See, the cry for a king by the children of Israel was not a rejection of Samuel or his leadership, but it was a rejection of God because God was their supreme king. Ultimately, the children of Israel said, "We want a king because we want to be like everyone else." See, God was their king, and they just didn't like that because they couldn't speak or see God, and so they wanted somebody they could speak or see. And so God said to them, "No problem, I'll give you a king, and by the way, your king will do all of these things to you, and you won't like it." And they said, "We don't care, we want a king anyway." And you remember what King Saul did, right? Go back, if you don't remember, go back and read Samuel and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. Matter of fact, if you're reading through your Bible, you've already read all that stuff. If you're reading through your Bible, you've already read through everything I'm just talking about right now. And Saul was terrible. I mean, he did everything God said. And the children of Israel are like, "Oh, God, please take him away." And he goes, "Oh, no, that's what you asked for. Too bad, so sad, sorry." Why? Peter just laid it out right here. Why? Because God is the one that puts those things in charge. That's what he's saying right here. Right here. What did he say? Because of the Lord, whether the emperor or the supreme authority. God is the one that puts those things in charge. Now, we have to understand something. Presidents don't just become presidents. Presidents are presidents because God allows them to be president. You may not like that. You may say, "Oh, no, the people elect them." Really? Come on. The mayor didn't become the mayor just because the mayor wanted to be the mayor. God's still in charge of all that. How many of you believe God's in charge of everything that goes on? Raise your hands. How many of you believe God's in charge of everything that goes on? Raise your hands. How many of you believe God's in charge? God's in charge, amen? There is no such thing as luck. God is in charge of everything that goes on. Therefore, everything that happens, happens for a reason. God is in charge. Every person in his life. Now, that doesn't mean, listen to me, this is my political stump right here for a moment. It doesn't mean that you can sit home and not vote. It is your responsibility to go to the polls and cast a vote. Oh, preacher, you just said God is in charge. It's not going to matter. No, wrong. It is still your responsibility to be obedient. We're going to see that in Romans 13 in just a minute. It is still your responsibility to be obedient and be good civil servants. It is still your responsibility to be good civil servants. But it is also your responsibility to be obedient. Look at what it said. Look what Peter said in the beginning. I told you you weren't going to like this. What did he say? Submit. Ooh, we don't like that word. I know many ladies, when you read that over in Ephesians where it says, wives, submit to your husbands, they don't like that word. You got to remove that, preacher. You can't say, wives, got to submit to your husbands. We can't go. But that's a two-way street, but it's not here. This word submit right here means to be obedient. That doesn't mean to be obedient when it's immoral or unethical. It doesn't mean to be obedient when it's going to go against religious beliefs. It doesn't mean to be obedient when it violates what God tells us to do. But when it says, when it's something that doesn't violate any of those things, you do it. The speed limit is 55. That means do what? Drive 55. That's the best example I got for you, so I know that's going to offend some people, but whatever. It doesn't affect any moral, ethical, or any of those beliefs. Now, some of you say, well, it's really wrong that they set out a speed limit. Too bad. It doesn't affect anything. But if they walk in here into this building and they say, you can no longer preach the Bible, we have a right to say wrong. We will stand on the Word of God. We'll send you to jail. And send me to jail, but I'll still preach it there. You can take it away. I can still preach it. You can blind me. I can still preach it. I can still preach it because I still have it in my mind. Unless you kill me, I can still preach it. And then I'll be in heaven. So what have you done? You've just sent me home. Big deal. Whoopie ding dong. Ooh, yay, I got to use that. Here's what we got. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord. There's why you're submitting. It's not because you're submitting because you have to. You're not submitting because I'm making you do it. You're not submitting out of obligation of some crazy, crazy nonsense. You are submitting because of the Lord. It's the right thing to do in God's name. In Romans chapter 13. Everybody there? Amen. I'm not there, but I will be. Before I read out of the other piece. Romans 13. Here we go. Ready? Everyone submit to the government's authority, governing authority, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist are instituted by God. There you go. See, what did Paul say? Paul is standing up for what Peter is saying, isn't he? He said it right here in the first verse. Everyone submit to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. So Paul is saying every authority that's in place is there because God let it be there. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. The reason that we have the president that we have is because God let that president be there. And every president before him and every president after him will be there because God's let him be there. And you can go out and rant and rave about whatever you want to rant and rave about, but it doesn't make any difference. But it still doesn't mean that we shouldn't be responsible to do what we know we're supposed to do. Are you clearly hearing me? Amen? Clearly hearing me? Okay, at least 3 of you are. I know you're not liking what I'm saying, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. We still have a responsibility to go to the polls. We still have a responsibility to the civil authority. We still have a responsibility. We still have that responsibility. You still have the right to go in there. You still have the right to go in there and cast your vote for A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, U, L, M, E, U, S, R, T, S, Y, and Z. And anything I missed in between. I don't care. I'm not telling you who to vote for. But what I am telling you is this, that whoever then becomes that person, it is our responsibility as Christians as children of God, to begin to pray for those leaders. Because God has instituted those leaders for whatever reason. He's allowed them to be in place. Listen, Saul became the king of Israel, and God knew that Saul was going to get the kingdom run out of his hands. God knew that Saul was going to destroy the kingdom of Israel, and yet God allowed Saul to be in that place. God knew that David was going to sleep with Bathsheba, and those problems were going to exist, yet God still allowed David to be king. God knew that Solomon was going to have all those wives and was going to have those problems, and yet God still allowed Solomon to be in charge. God knew. You hear what I'm saying? God knows what's going to take place. Why does God know? Because God knows everything. We have to understand that God is still in what? God is in what? God is in what? And if we believe God is in charge, then we can still have faith and trust in God. And I know that we have been disheartened in the past. And I know it's difficult. It's difficult to respect our leaders when they make really stupid and dumb decisions. But the Bible encourages us and tells us that we need to respect them. We need to lift them up in prayer. We need to encourage them. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, everyone must submit, same word that we find in Peter, submit to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God that is sent and exists are instituted by God. So then, verse 2, so then the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. Let me read you my little composite. This is from the message. The beginning is from the message. I know what part this is. The rest of it, I probably don't know where it came from. But it all came out of the Bible with a little emphasis added by me in some parts. Be a good citizen. All governments are under God insofar as they are as there is peace and order. It's God's order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you're irresponsible to the state, then you're irresponsible with God, and God will hold you responsible. How do you act? How do you act? See, that's submitting to the civil authority. The emperor. And Peter goes on. Go back to Peter. Go back to 1 Peter there. And look what Peter has to say. Hold your place there in Romans, because we'll be back there. Peter goes on to say here, outside of the emperor, the supreme authority, or to governors as those sent out by him to punish. So the governors are those in the lower authority. The governors are those in the lower authority who have the right to carry out the orders of the emperor, those that are in the higher authority. The message uses the word policeman. I don't really like that word, policeman, but it gives a good picture, right? Those that are allowed to carry out the judgment. How many of you like being pulled over by the cops? You know, we hear that a lot in the news. If you're watching the news, you know, the police did this and the police did that. And the police. Listen, let me tell you something about this. And this message is not intended to be political. And so if it seems to be political, I apologize. But it's inherent when you talk about government. But you have to understand something. The police officers are only enforcing laws that you as citizens, elected officers of the state or the county or whatever, you elected people to go in and create laws that the police officers then have to enforce. Do you realize that, right? So when you elected state officials, those state officials are the ones that made the speed limit laws that the police officers have to enforce. Just so you know how that process works, if you didn't understand that. So when the speed limit out on 13 Highway going to Warrensburg changed from 55 to 60, we're all excited. Yay! But when that speed limit changes from 60 back to 45, you won't be very excited. But the same people that made it 60 are the same people that make it 45. And the same officers that have to enforce the speed limit at 60 are the same ones that got enforced it at 45. Be kind to those guys when they gave you the ticket for 65, because they're the same ones that have to give you a ticket for 45. They are just doing their what? Job. That's what Peter is talking about here in this verse. Are you with me now? Okay, does it make sense? So here's what Peter is saying here. He says, or to the governors, as those sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. That is their job. Their job is to go out and to punish the evildoers and to take care of those people that do what is right. That is the purpose of the government. It's to take care of the people. But it's not to take care of the people the way the government today takes care of the people, by the way. That's a different issue for a different day. And we are to honor and to respect the government. We are to give the government the right place. We are to put it in its right spot. We are to make sure that we walk that right line. Look what he says here in verse 15. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there that have no idea what is right and what is wrong. And the way that you correct that is by doing what is right as God's people. And there are so many people out there that are God's people that don't do what is right. And this goes back to what I was telling you about voting. We can sit at home and go, well, you know what? My preacher preached the other day and said, it's all in God's hands, so I don't have to do anything. Well, you know what? You're one of the foolish, ignorant people. Because what you're telling everybody else is, as a Christian, you don't have to do anything, and so you're just acting foolish and ignorant, and you're telling all those people they don't have to do anything either. And what Peter is saying is that the way you teach people how to do what is right is by doing what is right also. That's how you teach people what is right. By doing God's will. By doing it right. By being obedient. By standing upright. By doing the right thing. Verse 16, as God's slaves. If you have a King James, it probably says servants. That word is doulos right there. And that word doulos means slave. We've talked about this word already. You've been bought by the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, you're owned by Christ. So you're technically a slave. You're not a servant. So you need to do what God has said. And so for God, as God's slaves, living as free people. And that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that you can be a slave of Christ, but yet be free? And we should be excited about that. We should be excited that we can be slaves owned by Christ, but yet we are free. And the reason that we can be owned by Christ and free is because we are free from sin. Hallelujah. Amen. And here's what Peter cautions. You are free from sin, so don't use that as a cloak to go out and sin more. And many times we walk around saying, I'm a Christian, look at me, I'm a Christian. And in the back corner, we're sinning like crazy. We use this term, while people are coming out of the closet, we're going into the closet so that we can do whatever we want while we're condemning everybody else who's coming out. I saw this the other day. It wasn't on Facebook. I think it was on one of the news sites. But this was, I think it was in South Carolina. Apparently it was a Christian lady, couple ladies gone to a restaurant, sit down to eat. Got done. I guess they decided that their waiter, their waitress was a lesbian, and so one of the patrons, instead of leaving a tip, wrote on there Leviticus 20:12, which talks about homosexuality, and put on the bottom of her tip on the bottom of her ticket said praying for you. What an insult! Very unchristian. What would have been better would have been to leave her a great tip and pray for her and not said anything. But they didn't talk to her. According to what the girl posted on Facebook, and according to the article, she said that the two ladies never spoke to her, not one time. They were very rude to her the whole time. How unchristian they were. If they were Christian ladies, they did not exude any Christian attitude of any kind to her. No Christian seed was planted. Matter of fact, just the opposite happened. Just the opposite happened. That's not this. That's not even love your neighbor as yourself. That's nothing what the Bible says. Nothing what the Bible says. And we wonder how are we going to reach a lost and dying world for Christ? We have to do it with love and compassion. We can't live as free people and treat others terribly. Peter says, as God's slaves, live as free people, but don't use that as a way to conceal evil. Back over in Romans, in my mixture of scripture, it would continue to say, for the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. Do you want to do good? Do you want to be on good terms with the government? Be a responsible citizen, and you will get on just fine, for the government is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for they do not bear the sword in vain. For they are servants of God, avengers who carry out God's wrath on the wrongdoers. God also has an interest in keeping order, and He uses them to do it. That's why you must live responsibly, not just to avoid punishment, but also because it is the right way to live. It's the right way to live. I mean, think about that. Not even just because you're a Christian, you should live like that, but that's just the right way to live. Well, I know that's not the way your King James put it, but that's still good. That's still good language. It's the right way to live. So what does Peter go on as he talks about civil authority and he talks about that we should submit to the civil authority and that God is in control and God has placed all that there. Well, what's he got to say then about how we should respect our employers? Now, I know many of us are probably retired by now. Most of us are retired by now. And so we don't have many employers. And so this may not apply to all of us, but yet we might get into a job place sometime. What did he say in verse 18? Household slaves. In that day, that was more of what you had. But we could substitute that for employers. People who work for other people. Your Bible may say household servants. Again, he uses the word submit here. Same word as before. With all fear. Now, I want you to understand something here, that this word fear, right here, is not the same word fear that we find many times in front of God, where it says, fear God. The word fear God, when we see that typically in front of fear God, usually that means that we should show reverence and honor before God. But this word where it says fear right here is that fear of trembling. That fear of you're about to get in trouble fear. This is the fear of you better watch out, you're about to get the belt fear. You ever had that fear? I still remember those days when my parents would say, all right, boys. I had three brothers and a sister. I remember the days when, you know, we lived in a trailer and our bedroom was in the back. We had bunk beds. We loved the bunk beds. They were great. And we had a play box in there. And my parents always thought it was really interesting about however punishment would be handed down. It was really weird. Sometimes sometimes it was very judicial. We all got it together. And so, you know, we would get to watch each other be punished. I'm not sure how that really worked well, but because then you could try to formulate how you were going to prevent yourself from being punished worse than the rest of them. And so your first brother would get wowed on, and so it was the toy box, you know. Get down on the toy box, boy. And here comes out the paddle. Pow! And so you're sitting there trying to figure out how you're going to get out of that. I don't know what was worse, watching your brother get wailed on or trying to figure out how you're going to get out of that. That's fear, man, let me tell you. Sometimes it would hang on to the bunk bed, you know. You let go, you're going to get 16 more. I know what corporal punishment is all about. I understand fear and terror. That's what Peter's talking about here. This is not reverence fear here. I don't know what your life was like. I'm just telling you what my life was like. Don't you take anything out on my mother. She's a great lady. I love her a lot. Anyway, so submit with all fear to your masters. Have that trembling, reverent fear, understanding their authority. You know, it amazes me today that the amount of, I'm not quite sure how to put this, the unauthoritative fear that we have. I'm not even sure that's even a word. I just kind of made stuff up there, but it's okay. That's kind of what I do. Because I wasn't sure what to say. I'm always amazed at how little respect we have for people today. You know, we're talking about respect, and I'm always amazed at how little respect we have for people today. We have little respect for people in authority, for police officers, for people in political positions. We have little respect for our employers. We have little respect for parents. We have little respect for adults. We have little respect for really anybody. And it shows in our society. We treat people however we want to treat them, and we don't really care. And that shows in our society. We've talked about this in different contexts before, but I can remember, and many of you can remember growing up when was the time when you started calling somebody older than you by their first name? I know people that are older than me that I still don't call by their first name. And then there's lots of people that I do, and I don't remember where that really flipped over. I know because of my wife and I age difference that's kind of weird for us, and so it's one of those things. But think about our kids, you know, aunts and uncles. We use that term a lot. We got that when we moved to Louisiana, and it's just kind of a weird thing. And where's all that respect gone? We don't have respect for people. I notice that a lot when I watch TV in the president. I think about 15 or 20 years ago, I noticed they stopped calling the president all the time. They start using his first name on the news a lot. And it's not just this president. It happened 15, 20 years ago. They just started using, they just start using his first name and or Mr. And you take that respect away. They do that with governors, and they do that with, where's the respect? Where's the respect that we have? Where's the respect? We have sons and daughters who call their moms and dads by their first names. We have employees who call their bosses by their first names. And maybe I'm just a weirdo because I grew up in the military environment for 20 years, and so you almost never called your boss by their first name. It was always, you know, Sergeant so-and-so or Captain Lieutenant so-and-so, and so there was never a first name basis type thing. But, you know, we don't have that fear in us. We don't have that respect. That we don't have that reverence of who those people are. That's what Peter is saying. trying to instill in these people, and just submitting with all fear to the masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the cruel, to do the right thing to these people, for these people, no matter what, for it brings favor and if mindful of God's will. Listen, what Peter is telling you is to do that work no matter what, because it brings favor in God's eyes. Always in God's eyes. Listen, why are you there? What are you doing it for? What is the purpose? We kind of talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. It is for God's focus, is God's purpose. That is why you're there. I think I have said it at least to every one of you at least one time. Why are you here? If you're here just because I'm here, then you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here because so-and-so's here, you're here for the wrong reason. You should be here because God said this is the place you need to be. And if this is the place God told you to be, then God's brought you here for a purpose and a reason. And I know this for a fact, that God didn't bring you here just to shine that pew up. That's not the reason He brought you here. Because if that's what He brought you here for, I can go get a dust mop and do that too. Which means you're no better than a dust mop. Just saying. God has a purpose and a reason for you. What is that? If God puts you in a place where for the employer, whether he's good or bad, God has you there for a reason. And he wants you to do the best job possible. And oh, guess what? He wants you to do it without complaining and moaning and groaning. That's really hard, isn't it? Isn't it really hard? Amen? Yeah, they're not going to get many amens out of that. That's difficult. That's difficult. Look what he says here in verse 20. For what credit is there if you sin and are punished and you endure it? Listen, if you mess up, I'm going to go back to my speeding example. Just because we can probably all relate to that. Maybe at least once. If you're driving down the road, the speed limit's 55, and you get pulled over doing 75, and the cop comes up and gives you a ticket, guess what? You deserve it. Don't care what you're doing. The speed limit's 55, you were doing 75, you got pulled over, you deserve it. And so, if you want to moan and groan and complain about it, too bad. You got punished for breaking the law. That's what Peter's talking about. But now, if you're driving 55, and the cop pulled you over and gave you a ticket, and you endure the punishment, and you endure that, knowing you didn't break the law, and you go through the whole process, and the court system says, yes, we know you didn't break the law, we have no idea why this happened, we are so sorry about that, we're going to throw that out, and you endure the whole situation, and yet it comes out in the honor of God. That's the other half of what Peter is saying in verse 20. You endured the suffering. You endured the suffering. What's he say here? But when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, this brings favor with God. See, if you screw up and you get in trouble, big deal. You should endure that suffering. You made a mess of it. But if you don't make a mess of it, and somehow you seem to get in trouble, and you endure it, well, that's for the favor of God. Just deal with it. Let God work through that. Let God get the glory and the honor in that. Let God move through that. So many times what we want to do is try to dig our own way out of that thing. That's not what God wants you to do. God does not want you to dig your way out of that. God wants you to let Him dig you out of that. And finally, after we have did our responsibility and respected our civil authorities and respected our employers, Peter reminds us that we need to respect everyone. In verse 17, he says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. The word honor here tells us that we need to show respect, to look at every person that is around us and give them what is due them. To lift them up, to encourage them. To every now and then pat them on the back. It doesn't mean that they're going to get the pat on the back all the time, but when it's necessary that you give that to them. Say thank you, like for Gary for mowing the grass the other day. I appreciate that. For Mike putting in a washer and dryer downstairs in the basement. Most people didn't even know that got done. Well, the dryer's not fully in yet, but the washer is. Unless the dryer's done, I don't know, I haven't been down there a while. Little things like that. For Connie doing such a great job singing music when there's no piano playing. For Frank fixing breakfast every week. It's a great task. Sometimes it's difficult, especially when we forget and leave the oven on. It happens. But nothing burned down, so it's awesome. Right? For all of you showing up every week. Just being smiling and happy. For somebody running the sound system and, you know. But it doesn't mean that every week you're going to get honors and kudos. And sometimes people think they got to have that stuff. But we need to honor people and give them praise when praise is necessary. But Peter also goes on here and he says that not only do we need to honor everyone, he says that we need to honor the brotherhood. What does he mean? Or to love the brotherhood. So that we honor, now we need to love one another. Now listen, we don't have time to dive into this into great depth, but I want you to understand something. That this here is very important that you need to hear this. We need to love one another. If you don't understand this concept, then you need to read the book of John and you need to read the book of 1 John. John, the Apostle John, makes it very clear that we are to love one another. If you cannot love, he says in 1 John, if you cannot love those that you see, then how can you love God who you cannot see? If the love of God, if you say the love of God is in you, yet you cannot love your brother, then you are a liar, John says. And the love of God is not in you. That's what John says. And the Apostle John got that from the Holy Spirit, so you deal with that. Church, we have to get to the point where we love one another. We have to get to the point where it's not a superficial love. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to you. That can't be superficial. It can't be just something we say. It's got to be a deep-rooted love. He says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God. This is that deep, reverent fear. This is not that trembling fear that we just saw down in verse 18, but this is that honor, that reverent fear of God. And then honor the emperor. This is that respect. This is that same thing as the brotherhood. The same thing as everyone. I'll give you the perfect example. I've said this many times. If the president of the United States was to walk into this room right now, I would expect every one of you to stand and give him the respect that is due because that's what's required when the president walks into the room. I don't care if you don't like him. I don't care if you don't like his policies. I don't care whatever. I don't care what anything about it. But the proper thing to do is to respect the office that God has placed in the man that God has placed in that office. Because that's what we've just learned. And that's what Peter has just said. That we are to honor that person. We are to honor that person. We are to honor that person. I mean, we have to like them. But we're to honor that person. We would show proper respect. Proper dignity. That's what's called for. I want to finish reading to you Romans. For they are servants of God, avengers who carry out God's wrath on the wrongdoers. God also has an interest in keeping order, and He uses them to do it. That's why you must live responsibly, not just to avoid punishment, but also because it is the right way to live. But of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all that is owed to them, pay to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment says, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and the other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. This is all that the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is soon here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity, or immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. The end of Romans chapter 13. It's almost like Paul and Peter got together and said, let's talk about how we can tell the people about being obedient to civil authority, to employers, and to one another. How do we respect those entities? Folks, I want you to understand one thing, that in order for us to be responsible, in order for us to do what is right, we need to respect our civil authorities. We need to respect those that God has placed before us, and to be respectful as holy people, we need to respect those authorities. We need to do our responsibilities. We need to be obedient to God. There's going to come a time when we have to be responsible as Christians. I'll probably preach a message or two about that later on this year, but right now you need to understand where we stand. Respect those in authority over you. If they're doing what is right and moral and just, and you have no place to move from that. But if it's not right, and it's not just, and it's not moral, and it's not ethical, and it doesn't stand on the Word of God, then we have every right to say, that's not where you need to be. And then we should start praying for that person and those people. And we need to see how best God wants us to influence that. But it doesn't mean that we show disrespect and dishonor to those that God has placed in those positions. So where do you stand in respect? We must show respect as holy people to those that God has placed in those places. It's not very pleasant. It's not very nice. But it is God. It is God. Our great Father, God in heaven, we thank you. It's hard sometimes for us to hear things like this because we like to just be able to do what we want. I know I like to do what I want, be able to go where I want, say what I want. And then you just remind us how you're still in control and it's still yours and it's still about you and we have to be obedient to what you say and what you want us to do. So God, may you forgive us where we have failed you. Lord, as we contemplate the words that you have spoken to us this morning, may we fully understand all that you have said. May you just speak to us now. Maybe there's one here this morning, Lord, that's dealing with some issue of respect, disrespect, or just, Lord, maybe they're in a place that they're just not fully committed to you and doing what you've asked them to do. Maybe today would be the day that they would say yes to you, Lord. May today be the day that we would be fully committed to following you and being honoring to you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do and all that you have done. In your great precious name. Amen. As we sing 288 on the screen this morning, you come. Maybe God's speaking to you this morning. Maybe there's something in your life that you need to deal with. You come, pray at the altar this morning. Let God hear what's on your heart. Just lay it out for Him. Maybe He's saying to you, you need to join this assembly, be part of what's going on here. Let God move for you. Encourage you to do what God's saying to you today. You hear Him and you be obedient to Him today. You come as we sing, you come.